finish the book of Ephesians. So if you would, open your Bibles up to Exodus chapter 17. While I pray, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great journey we've had through the book of Ephesians. And I pray, God, you just open your word to us up today about prayer and boldness as we look at these final parts of the armor, Lord, to be prepared for battle. And Lord, as we look now in Exodus as an example of this, God, I pray you would just use it to encourage us. And Lord, maybe give clarity to why we're having victory or lack thereof in some of the battles that we're fighting. So God, again, you be our teacher, open your word to us, and we look so forward to what you have for us today in your word and by your spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we come to the last portion of the whole armor of God, focusing in really on prayer and boldness is really the focus on this. But again, the reason I had you open your Bibles to Exodus 17 is we're going to be looking at prayer in detail this morning, different types of prayer that Paul's going to get into that's going to be borne out in the language, not as seen as much when you just read it topically, but as you get into the language, it bears out a little bit more. So I also wanted you, though, to see an example before we get there of what prayer is like and how this works with the spirit realm manifesting in the earthly realm. One of the things I've been sharing with you guys and emphasizing is that what we see happening in our earthly realm originates in the spiritual realm. So we have to learn to recognize, all right, we're seeing this happen in our country and around the world, but behind the scenes, there are spiritual forces at work. God and the enemy working, God ultimately in control, but we can understand some things that are dark by knowing the enemy's at work as well. And so that's what we're going to see here in Exodus 17. It's one of the best examples when it comes to prayer and having victory in prayer and the spiritual battle, because we're going to see a picture of a spiritual battle being waged by Moses and a physical battle being waged by Joshua at the same time. Remember, the armor is how we're protected. When we talk about prayer, before we jump into Exodus 17, the armor is how we're protected. But prayer, as we're going to see here, is where the victory comes from, as we're going to see that displayed out through Moses. And so we have to have that prayer life built in. And remember, we ended last week talking about the three different workings of the Holy Spirit. If you didn't hear that or weren't here, I encourage you to go and listen to that online. He is in us, he is with us, and he is upon us. Three very different words in the Greek language. When we are saved, he's in us, and then he's with us working together, and he comes upon us for power. Again, I think a great visual illustration of that is when you put a fire together, you put the kindling in first. In the center of it, at the heart of it, is what's going to make this thing burn. That is the indwelling of the Lord. And then when he's with us for service and ministry, you're stacking the TP up, you know, for that bonfire or the way that it's going to go. God is alongside us. He's working with that. And then the third work of the Spirit, where he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Spirit will come upon you and you'll receive power. That is the match that lights the fire. So imagine the fire's waiting. Maybe you have the indwelling of the Lord. Maybe you have the Lord putting things in place for you, but you're lacking that power and that fire. That comes through prayer and asking God to come upon us with the Spirit. And that's the match now that lights the flame. And so that's the picture we're going to see here, that power working through Moses in this battle against the Amalekites. Now, to set the groundwork here, again, they've come out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world in Scripture. Now, again, there was a literal Egypt, and there's going to be literal Amalekites and a literal battle with Israel. But God uses all of this symbolically to teach us things and to teach us principles. So Egypt throughout the Bible is used as a type of the world. So when you give your life to the Lord, you're coming out of Egypt. And so you come now out of Egypt, and then God begins to work in our life. But when we come out of Egypt, what happens? We now face the enemy against us. And again, pictured here in Scripture is the Amalekites. And by the way, the Amalekites are also in Scripture a type of the flesh. That is a type of what's battling, the sin that's battling against us as we're trying to walk with God. We come out of Egypt, but we still have the earthly battles, don't we? And the fleshly battles. So this is a picture of that. Although it's a literal situation, it is a picture of what's happening in the spirit realm. So I think this is a good thing for you to lock in your brain, to have this as to how prayer works. And again, maybe give you some answers as to why you're having victory or the lack thereof in some of the things you're seeking God on. Notice what it says here in chapter 17, verse 8. It's here there are the wilderness. It says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men to go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. So now notice the physical army goes out to fight. Now we're going to see the spiritual part of it. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now understand, the Hebrew prayer position was hands raised. So the Jews would have known this. The Hebrews would have known this. Anyone that knows Jewish history would know this. But for our sake to understand, God is not saying you have to pray with your hands raised or he's not going to hear you. But in the Jewish mindset in this day, that was a picture that I'm praying to God. They would do that before the people. They would do that. Again, as an example, we're praying to God. So when Moses would stand before the people, he would raise his hands and pray for the congregation. So when they're down there fighting the battle in the valley, they look up on the hill and they see Moses up there with his hands raised and the rod of God that did all the, where God did all these miracles as he used the rod there and his hands are raised. They're going, yes, we're ready to fight. We can take this on because we're being prayed for and the power of God is behind us. So that's what's happening. And while his hands were up, they were having victory. They were defeating the enemy, but then Moses would get tired and his hands would come down to rest for a minute before he lifted them back up. And it says every time his hands went up, they had victory. Every time his hands went down, they had defeat. Do you see the picture God is giving us in Scripture here? What God is saying is, as long as your hands are raised, again, not literally physically, let's say it this way, as long as you are in prayer, you will have victory over the enemy. But when you stop praying, guess who's going to get victory? The enemy's now going to get victory over you. So it's so important that we prevail. We're going to see that as we get into Ephesians a little bit later. You've got to continue on in prayer and fight the battle in prayer and have that prayer continued on, or the enemy now has the upper hand. So notice there's a solution to this. Some of you might be saying, I feel like that. I'm trying to pray, but my arms are getting tired. I just can't seem to keep praying. I'm weary. I'm worn out. Notice what happens. Look at verse 12. But Moses' hands became heavy. Again, the battle was long. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands. What a great line that is. One on one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady, that is because they were helping him, until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. Notice what happened. He said, all right, Moses, we see that we're having victory when you're praying. We're losing when you're not praying. You need to keep your arms up. He says, I just can't do this anymore. So they got on either side of him, held his arms, and they held his arms and kept them steady until the battle was won. What a beautiful picture that is of coming alongside brothers and sisters in the Lord and helping them have victory in the battle. How many of you are weary in the battle this morning of prayer? Again, many of you are in this room. You're weary. You've been praying for many, many years, and you're weary, and your hands have dropped. You're like, Lord, I just don't know that I can pray anymore. I'm just worn out. God says, you need to keep praying. You've got to persevere. You've got to continue on, which we're going to see again in a moment in Ephesians. But the reality is, what if you can't? Well, find some people, brothers and sisters around you that can help hold your hands up. Will you pray with me on this? Will you lift this up with me in prayer? And sometimes you just have to keep on persevering regardless, just getting people to pray, having that prayer continue on, because that's where the victory is. And notice when they did that, Joshua defeated Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. So maybe the breakthrough you're waiting on, maybe the reason you haven't had victory and you're not having victory yet is you've given up in prayer and you become weary. So don't lose heart. Find those that can pray with you and give you that victory. Now, I wanted you to see the spiritual battle and how it affects the earthly battle in a very practical way in your mind. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at prayer as we finish out the book of Ephesians. Again, notice here, again, if you were with us last time, again, remember we talked not only about the three works of the Holy Spirit that we see in the New Testament, but also we finished up by looking at the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now we come to verse 18. Now we get into prayer and boldness, which are the last two things we're going to look at today. And notice what he says. There's so much in this. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, there's a lot more going on here than what you see on the surface. And that's why I said it's a very practical day about prayer. First of all, seeing the spiritual battle, the physical battle, and the need to continue on. Now, Paul's going to get into, again, talking about different types of prayer. We think about prayer. Yes, there's prayer, but there's many different types of prayer. And he's going to point out some of those types of prayer. Then I'm going to point out a couple more when he's done that we find in other places in Scripture, because I want you to understand the different types of prayer, the different approaches to prayer, and maybe why sometimes certain things that you pray for are easy and sometimes certain things you pray for are very difficult, because there's greater opposition to that. And we'll explain that when we get to it as well. But the first thing to note is different kinds of prayer. And he says you're praying always. Again, this means two different things. The praying always does. First of all, it literally means praying always, but in a greater definition, so all the time, it means in every season as an ongoing lifestyle. So that means you never stop praying, whether it's a good season or a bad season, an easy season, a hard season, a sunny season or a rainy season. You never stop praying. A mountaintop or a valley. And it's easy to quit in the valleys. You know, it's interesting. Seems like on the mountaintop, it's easier to pray, but oftentimes we don't do it because life seems to be going so well. And then we get in the valley where we need to pray the most, and it's like that's where we don't pray because we get depressed or sad or overwhelmed and not praying. He says the principle is don't ever stop. In every situation, this word means here, continue praying as a regular part of your life. That is, God wants that regular communication with us on a regular basis, and we need to give God that regular communication on a regular basis. Again, the best way I've heard this expressed is God wants devotion and not just our devotions. You know, we get up in the morning, we have our devotion, and then we live our day. And we say, okay, God, I'll see you tomorrow, same time. Imagine if we did that with our spouse. Get up in the morning, hi, spend some time with them, goodness to be, whatever. And Leo, okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow, same time. What? Yeah, tomorrow, same time. I'll just, you know, we won't talk till then, but I'll catch up tomorrow morning. Whoa. No, are you not coming home today after work? No, I'll come home, but so we're not gonna, what are you talking about? No, we think about things, how absurd that is, right? Why would God expect anything different, guys? He wants an intimate, ongoing relationship. He wants us to talk throughout the day, to communicate throughout the day. I think sometimes we think prayer is just, you know, getting away by ourselves and praying, which is one of the types of prayer we'll talk about in a moment. But at the same time, prayer is just an ongoing conversation throughout the day. I'll bet you talk to God more than you know throughout the day. Start listening to yourself. You'll be doing something. Lord, help me get over in this traffic. You know, oh Lord, please don't let the death row there in Alcoa come into place right at the timing. And I always talk about that. You can tell that's because I live over here on this part of town. But either way, whatever the prayer is, I find myself, if you listen, you're going to be praying probably more than you think. And if not, then begin to incorporate that. Talk to the Lord. Communicate. He doesn't want, again, just your devotions. He wants your devotion. He wants your life. He wants your heart. He wants more than just in the morning I spent my time, now go live my day. He says, wait, I love you. We're in this together. Let's have a relationship and I'll help you throughout your day. There's this dynamic that's going on here that the Lord wants for us in our lives. And so this ongoing is the first meaning. The second meaning to the words praying always means to pray for things in a specific moment of time. Here's another type of prayer. You have the ongoing life prayer, but then as you're ongoing in life, another kind is, look, I need help right now for this. Right? Maybe your car tails down. You pull over to the side of the road and your car's not starting. What's going on? Lord, you got to help me. Either help me get this car started or send somebody along that can help me. I need help right now. That's a specific kind of prayer. Now, typically, again, that's going to happen more naturally, but if you're not thinking about it, you may not ask God. You may start making your plans about how you're going to chip on your insurance app and do they have roadside service? Well, there's nothing wrong in that. You may need that and God will use that. Maybe God's going to have you witness to the tow truck guy or whatever the case might be. I was sharing with somebody here earlier when I lived in Nashville. You know, they were talking about they had had an accident recently. And I said, I remember one time, and they got to share the gospel with the person that they had the accident with, you know. And I remember in Nashville, this girl hit me, everybody was fine. But she was all shaking, a young girl, and just all jittery and shaking. And so the policeman came, and we're waiting there in the car till the tow truck comes. And we're in the police car with the policeman. And we can tell by talking to each other that we both know the Lord. And so we kind of smiled at each other, and we're like tag-teaming Jesus on this girl. I mean, she's there nervous with the police. It was like pretty easy to, you know, take advantage of that. But either way, I know that God was working. And so we used it as an opportunity to do that. And so it was a specific moment in time. Lord, move right now. Touch her heart right now. You know, so again, this is another type of prayer where we don't be afraid to ask God for what you need at that moment. God's going to be faithful to do that. He's very involved in your life. And I want you guys to know this. He cares about the small things. Do you as parents care about the small things in your kids' lives? You know, they're sitting at the table and you see so hard, they're trying so hard to do something they want to do. And you know, if you just help them a little bit, they're going to be so happy. And you just let them, you know, leave them alone. You're going to help them. God's the same way with us. And I think sometimes we're afraid to say, well, Lord, you know, I need you to help me in this situation or whatever. But God will help you even in the small things. So ask him for them. He wants to do that. It's a specific moment in time that you lift it up to the Lord. Now, again, notice in praying always, he says, with all prayer. The next thing is with all prayer, a different word. This is what's interesting about this. When you get into the word studies, that's the first word of what the meaning is. Now, this word means literally a specific place for prayer. Note that. He's saying, I want you to have a specific place that you set aside to pray. Now, does this mean you have to always go to that place and you can't pray anywhere else? No. Does it mean that you're not supposed to still be praying everywhere you go? No. All that's still in place. He's saying, I want you, though, to, as a regular practice, develop some place that you go pray. Maybe your living room, maybe wherever, walking around the neighborhood, whatever the case might be. Have that place of prayer. And why would God want us? And why would the instruction by the Holy Spirit through Paul here say, have that place of prayer? It's because when we have a specific place of prayer, when we have a specific place of prayer, we will develop specific habits of prayer. That's huge. Part of our problem is we don't pray on a regular basis because we haven't developed a habit of prayer. And God says, I want you to pick a place and go pray there. When you do that, I'm telling you, it becomes something that becomes a part of your life. And it's something that God is building in. He wants to build into us that consistency. It's a consistency of prayer that works into lifelong habits. Again, Jesus had a consistent life of prayer. And he couldn't pray at the same place all the time because they moved from village to village to village. But I guarantee you that he found places in every village he was at. He found a place to pray. Because the example we see about the Lord is he would get away to pray. And it's a regular basis. He was always getting away to pray, whether to go up to the mountain or do this or do that. There's one specific one I want you to show you, which brings out some great points about prayer and seeing the Lord as our example. It's in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It'll be on the screen for you. But notice what it says. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, that is Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So now he's got his place. And Simon and those who were with him, the other disciples, searched for him. And when they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. Like, where have you been? We couldn't find you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth. Notice he didn't even address the issue as why they couldn't find him. He just said, okay, now we can go. Let's head that direction. But there's so much to glean. I want to leave that verse up. I think we already said that at the last service, but leave it up while we cover this. First of all, notice he got up very early to pray. Some of you already are saying, okay, wait a minute. You lost me right there. Listen, I want to let you guys know something. You're not earning anything in heaven. You're not working your way to heaven. God doesn't love you any less if you don't get up early and pray. But as your pastor, I have to be honest with you and say the example we have all through Scripture from the beginning to the end is that if you want a consistent, solid prayer life, it's getting up early. Now, some of you already are saying, okay, you know, this is, you lost me there. We're not, you know, whatever. Listen, God will work. You work that out between you and Lord in prayer, but I can't get away from it. I see it all through the Bible. It's always those. And God talks about rising early and sending the prophets and Jesus awakened early and all these kind of things that happen. And there's a reason for that. Why would God do that when sometimes it's so hard to get up early? Because he knows that's the only time we're going to be able to have quiet and hear him without interruption. There's a number of reasons here, but God knows what he's doing. There's a design to this. That doesn't mean there aren't some days we can't sleep in. That doesn't mean if you're a tired mom and you've got the kids late in bed and God's all upset because you didn't get up early enough. I'm not talking about that. Listen, God is gracious. He knows every season of our life and he knows all the things that we're going through. We need to seek him in prayer and say, Lord, what do you want me to do in this season? You know the struggles I'm having. Maybe there's a physical struggle that keeps you from getting up early. I don't know. God, what do you want me to do? I want to try to seek you in the right way. And I want to, again, you can pray at any time. But again, this principle is in place. And Jesus here sets that example. He gets up very early. And again, there are some reasons. The first reason is that, again, remember, that's the time you can have quiet. It's a time of quiet. It's interesting when they would get up to get the manna in the morning. We sang just a moment ago about the manna and getting our manna. He's our daily bread. He's our manna. Manna was an interesting substance. And again, what it really was, we won't know probably until heaven. But manna would be on the ground until the sun got hot and then it would melt and go away. So if you didn't get up while it was still in the cool of the day and go and get the manna, the heat of the day would melt the manna and you didn't have any manna for your family that day. Look at the picture of that. What he's saying is, look, if you don't get up and get it while it's available, the heat of the day is going to melt it. How many of us have found that to be true? You think, well, I'll sleep a little bit longer. Then we get up and now the phone starts ringing and the kids start grabbing onto your legs and now you got this appointment. And it's like, well, I wanted to pray today, but I just didn't have time. The manna's gone. The bottom line is we're going to have to do that. If we're going to make sure that we get our manna each day and have that time in the Word and prayer, we're going to have to get up and seek the Lord in that. It's just part of the process. And I think why God asks us to do that. And secondly, we need to hear from our commander in chief. We're starting the day off. God, what do you want me to do today? He doesn't speak audibly and say, do this, this, and this. But again, we get in tune with his spirit and he can now lead us as we're seeking him early and we're hearing from him. And now we know what we're going to do through the day and how we're going to get there and how this is going to work. And so again, the next thing to note about this is not just getting up early and finding that place that's alone and having that time with the Father. The next thing is notice this, nobody could find him. I love that. The disciples get up just like a bunch of kids looking for mom. You know, where's mom? Where's mom? What's going on? You know, I'm not saying, mom, that you should hide from your kids, although some of that. That's not a bad idea. The pastor said so, right? No. I'm simply saying that they're looking for him everywhere and they couldn't find him. And when they finally found him, they were like, Lord, we looked everywhere. And I put my hand on my hip. They probably didn't do that. But Lord, we looked everywhere. We couldn't find you. And he's like, that's the point. That's the point. You need to have a place where you can get away and pray and not be interrupted. Because one of the biggest things that happens in prayer life is you try to develop your prayer life, there's going to be interruptions on a regular basis. Listen, I have enough interruptions in my brain. I don't need my cell phone buzzing every few seconds. If I don't take my cell phone with me to pray. Okay, because number one, it can't pray. And number two, all I hear is ding, ding, ding. Like, you know, either get up and shave with it or throw it out the window. It's like, no. Okay? Because you've got to have someplace, but I tried to find you. I couldn't find you. I mean, this one, you know, early on in our, now she's used to it now. This used to drive Tracy crazy early on in our marriage because I wouldn't have any way she'd get a hold of me. I'd be away from the phones and this kind of stuff. You know, where have you been? I'm looking everywhere for in the scripture. It always popped in my mind, you know, and because I said, that's the point. I didn't want you to find me, but what do you need now? You know, not in a mean way. Don't get me wrong on that. She's not at this service. She was at the last one, so I'm free to talk about this. Hopefully she's not watching online right now, but either way. But the bottom line is, that's the point. I don't want you to be able to find me. Why? Because I want to have that time alone with the Lord uninterrupted. And so, guys, you need to leave the cell phone out. Don't take it. And also, if your mind runs like mine, a million miles a minute, and you think about everything else that the day is bringing, take a pad and pencil in there with you. Here's some practical things. Write down all those thoughts as they come in your mind. Because the reason you can't focus is, I can't forget this. I've got to do that. Well, write it all down. Now you've got it logged. Now you can be free to pray. And just spend that time. Then pick up your list and start your day. And so these are practical things that have helped me over the years in prayer. And I know that we all kind of face some of the same things here. But again, what we need to do is just have that time alone, have that time away where we can seek the Lord and not have those interruptions. So praying always with all prayer. And notice, and supplication in the Spirit. It's interesting, the word is supplication literally means what you lack. What you lack. Okay, the word is lack there. So what, again, he's saying it's okay. Tell God, there's another thing in prayer. Tell God what you need. Don't be afraid to tell him your needs. Lord, I need this. This is happening right now. And whatever the case might be, just lay it out there to him. Supplicate to the Lord, letting him know. It's the word desis. It means give me the lack that I need, asking God. I think some people, I've heard these things. Well, you know, we really shouldn't ask God for anything. We just need to be praying for other people. Look, even Jesus asked the Father for things. He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let this cup pass. He was asking of the Father, seeking the Father. So if Jesus was able to do that, how much more do we need to do that as well? There's nothing wrong with that. That's what the scripture teaches. And so again, here, that's the word that he uses. And so notice he goes on. He says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. First of all, again, being watchful. Let me say this. No, praying always in the Spirit. Let me not skip over that. Notice he says, praying always in the Spirit. What does it mean in the Spirit? I had somebody again last night after the service say, what does it mean in the Spirit? Does that mean I have to speak in another language or what? That's not what he's saying here. Again, not that that can't be applied. Here's the point. He simply means be in tune with God. Be in tune with the Lord. As you spend time in prayer and the Word, you're going to be in tune with God. You want the mind of God. As you're reading the Word, you get the renewing of the mind. You spend time in prayer, you begin to sense the heart of the Father. And so you're in tune with him. So it's praying in English or whatever your native language is, praying in the Spirit to God. Now, could it also mean in a prayer language? Yes, he says pray in the Spirit. There's nothing wrong in that if you have that gift. But it doesn't mean that you have to always pray in that if you have that or something. Some do, some don't. Again, scripture's clear on that. But either way, the bottom line is, he says, just make sure whatever prayer you're doing, do it in tune with the Spirit of God. And again, it has to be done in his name, which means in his character. We know that. He didn't say it here, but he tells us in another place to be praying in his name, where it means his character, which is praying in tune with him, praying in the Spirit of God. And then he says, notice this, he goes on, he says, being watchful to this end. Interesting word, watchful, what this means here. It means this, it means to be alert, to be attentive, to be vigilant, to be awake and not sleeping. Now, he's not talking about physical sleeping here. Obviously, you can't pray if you're asleep. He's not talking about that. What he's saying is, even in your prayer, don't be sleeping. That is, be awake spiritually. Say, God, wake me up spiritually. Let me see what's going on in the world around me. Let me see what's going on in the lives around me. Let me see into the spirit what's happening here. Give me understanding. Give me discernment. So he's saying, be awake. Don't just lazily and sleepily go through your prayers and do some kind of, you know, chant or whatever. I remember years back, Tracy and I were taking some Hebrew lessons from a lady that teaches there at the Hebrew University in Israel. And she had moved to the States, and we'd go over to her house and take some lessons. And it was a lot of fun. A good chance to learn some Hebrew, but also really just to kind of minister to them, kind of an outreach. They were Jewish and didn't know the Lord. So this is a great way to kind of minister to them. And they invited us over to come over and have a Sabbath with them. And it was the most amazing thing to see them just go through these rote prayers, bored to death. They would get the prayers and go, you'd almost see their eyes roll. And I'm thinking, wow, this is not what the Lord wants. And of course they didn't know the Lord. I know that. I'm not judging them for that. I'm saying this is such a picture of not having that relationship, not having a real connection to God, and again, not being attentive or alert or understanding what's going on in your prayer. You're just going through the motions. And guys, you want to be careful that you just don't go through the motions. If you're going through the motions in your prayer life, say, God, restore the passion of my heart. And it doesn't mean you have to be crying every time you pray. It doesn't mean you have to be fake or be dramatic. It just means, am I connected, Lord? Am I going through the motions and doing my quiet time? Okay? Or am I having a conversation with you? Am I pouring my heart out? And am I listening to you right now? Because that's what I want, Lord. So we have to guard ourselves. Make sure we're watchful, attentive, vigilant, awake, not sleeping spiritually, so to speak. And that's how our prayer life should be. Eyes wide open as we pray. Not that you can't close your eyes. You get my point. In the spirit. And notice the next thing he says about prayer. So he goes on, not just watchful, he says, with this end, but with all perseverance. Again, I'm hitting each one of these individually because these words are so important. The word perseverance here means this. It means in prayer to give constant attention to and to never give up. Don't stop. It reminds me of Jesus. Again, remember where he said, ask, seek, and knock. It's in the indicative in the language, which means over and over and over. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking would be a literal translation. It doesn't just mean ask, seek, and knock one time. It means you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle going on. And we've got to continue on, even as Daniel. Think about Daniel, the 21 days of prayer. We talked about it before. What if he stopped at 20? I'm not saying God wouldn't have still let, you know, the angel get through to him. But at the same time, Daniel persisted. God heard him day one. But he continued to pray and be consistent all the way through to keep going and going. That's the picture that we have here of this continuing and not giving up in prayer, persevering and continuing on. And guys, I want to encourage you. Some of you have been praying for family and friends for a long time. Don't give up. Don't give up. Here's another tip I'll give you that somebody shared with me many years ago, another pastor that's been very helpful to me is, you know, if you try to pray for everything, sometimes prayer can seem overwhelming. Because when you say we need to pray, well, we think about, wow, there's so much to pray. Where do you start? You have family, your church, the government, the world, missions everywhere. What do you do? It's like every day can be overwhelming. Set aside certain days for certain things. You know, you want to pray for the government and maybe missions on one day. Pray for your family on another day. Pray for, you know, this on that. Just set days aside that you pray. And I remember him saying that, do that, and I've done that. And I remember I set aside a day for me when I first got saved. I'm going to pray for my family and those who don't know the Lord. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to seek the Lord. And I've been mostly consistent. I don't know of days that I missed, but I'm sure I have. But over the last 38 years of walking with God, I've continued on that day to pray for my family. And when I first started, it was with tears. I'd just gotten saved. I'd just come out of drugs and alcohol. I was so happy to be saved. I'm weeping, going, God, show them what you show me. Open their eyes. Set them free like you did me. Bring them into the kingdom. And a few years go by. That's like, Lord, you know, I do pray, God, you work in their heart. Then some years go by, and it's like, you know, you're 15 years in, 20 years in. You're like, Lord, I don't know how else to pray. You know, I've tried every way I know. I've used every word I know to use. You know, maybe I'll try this position or something. I'll try anything. Something to bring, you know. You just, God, make my heart tender here. Keep my heart tender. Keep me praying for them. And sometimes I find I'm just kind of going through the motions. You know, I'll name them Lord. Whoa, and I'll just stop. Whoa. I did nothing. That did nothing. Lord, hear me on this again. I know you've heard me now for 38 years, and none of them have gotten saved yet. 38 years of this whole group of people that I've been praying for, and nobody's come to Christ. I love hearing the stories. All my family got saved. I got saved one day. The next week, we all went to church, and everybody got saved. Like, that is great. I'm like, Lord, thank you for them, because it gives me hope. But I'm like, why with my family 38 years and nobody? I don't know. God knows. But he said, you persevere. You continue. You don't stop. You keep on. Now, I don't want to make it sound like I'm this spiritual warrior. Oh, what a great. No, I just happen to keep living. That's why I prayed so long. You know, I didn't die. So now we're up to 38 years. I'm still alive since I got saved. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm some super, you know, spiritual hero here. I'm not. I'm just saying, keep going. As long as you're alive, keep praying for these things. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Keep persevering. God knows. And listen, this is something I wanted you guys to realize. I brought this up last service as well. But God's not hearing my prayer. I've been praying 38 years and nobody's gotten saved. God's heard all of my prayers and he's been moving in them for 38 years. Absolutely. How do I know that? He said, you pray anything in my name according to my will, I will do it. But there's one thing I won't do. I won't force anybody into the kingdom. Love demands a choice. And I will convict them. I will hound them as you continue to cry out. But they've got to make the choice, Mark. You can't force them into the kingdom. And I'm not going to do it either. I'm going to let them choose because that's what love is. They've got to choose. And so I know God's been speaking to them. I know he has this whole time. I don't question God's faithfulness. Lord, I know you're talking. Keep on talking. Here's another day. Go. Keep talking to him. Keep going. And so, and hopefully at one of these days, their heart's going to break and they're going to give in and they're going to come to know the Lord. And so I don't know, but I leave that in God's hands. But the point is don't give up. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. And again, the more you live, the longer you live, the more prayer they have that goes up for them in the kingdom. So persevere. Don't stop. Watch with perseverance. Again, and supplication for all the saints. Notice the next thing, he talked about supplication earlier in the spirit, prayer and supplication. Now he says supplication for the saints. Well, he's talking about be praying for each other. Even as you ask God for things for yourself, ask God for things for other people and pray for them. How many times have people come up and say, could you pray for me on this or pray with me on this? Here's another prayer tip, okay? The bottom line is I've had people do that over the years. You know, early on is when it really happened. Would you pray for me on this? And I'm, yes, I will, whatever. And then I forget to pray for them. They go on, I forget to pray. And the next week they come up and they'll say something like, thank you so much for praying. You know what? We got a real breakthrough. And I'm going, I didn't pray for you. I don't tell them that, but I'm like, you know how to fix that? Somebody comes up to you and says, pray for me. You say, let's pray right now. Pray right now. Let's pray right now. And I pray for them right there at that moment. Let's pray. I've done it already numerous times this weekend. Can you pray for me, Pastor? Right now, let's pray. Had somebody last service. My two kids, give me their names. Let's pray right now. Because now you're lifting them up to the Lord. You're fighting the battle for them right there at that moment. And you don't have to have the guilt of going, I forgot to pray for them. And if they talk about an open mind. It's so open, it just rolls right out the other side for me. And so, again, I need to kind of close things in. And so this is helpful to do that. And so, again, we need to be praying for each other. Lifting each other up in prayer. And that's what it means here, supplication for all the saints. So Paul here finishes verse 18 by saying, look, this is how you need to pray for each other and the different ways to pray. Now he's going to, again, get into how he wants to be prayed for himself. But again, before I get into his request, I want to touch on two other types of prayer that the scripture talks about, and that is thanksgiving and intercession. Thanksgiving is an easy one. I said there were easy prayers and there's hard prayers. Here's the easy prayer. It's natural. You've been praying, God does something amazing in your life, and you're like, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done. This is amazing. And it just rolls off your lips. It comes flowing out of your heart. You can't control it. You're thankful to the Lord. That's thanksgiving. Now, there are times we can be thankful where it's maybe not flowing out as easily, but you get my point. That's what I call easy prayer. And then there's difficult prayer. And what is that? That is intercession. And what is intercession? That is when you are doing battle for someone or something that's under bondage of the enemy. It's intercession. You've got family members that are bound up by the enemy, a government that's bound up by the enemy, something you're fighting, whatever the case might be, you're praying. And when you do that, you're going right in the face of the enemy. And when you go right in the face of the enemy, you're going to face headwinds. That's when people, I feel like my prayers are just hitting a brick wall or not going beyond the scene. It's because you're interceding. There's a battle going on. You're being pushed against. And the Lord said, until the enemy's bound, you're not going to have victory there. So how's the enemy bound? Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep crying out to God till he binds the enemy. And now you're able to break through and have that breakthrough and move forward. But this is hard prayer. And so understand there's going to be times in your life where it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. And so you just have to fight through that. And oftentimes that's the ones where, again, whether it's family or kids or whatever, you know, we have to, it becomes more of a battle. And God puts us in those places so we can learn to intercede and fight through. Because we want to do the easy stuff and not the hard stuff. But the hard stuff is needed when it comes to battle as well. And so we intercede, we plead, and we reason with God about these issues. And again, because we're getting in the enemy's face, then there's opposition. Now, that's what he said that we're to do as far as prayer, the different types of prayer. Now Paul's going to say, and pray for me. So again, I told you, it's okay to ask for prayer. Paul's going to say, pray for me. Oftentimes you guys tell me, you know, I'm praying for you, Mark. I'm praying. Praise the Lord. I want it. I'll take it. And again, that's if we pray right then, oftentimes, and I'm not saying you have to pray right out in the hall afterwards. I better do that because Mark's going to realize I'm not doing that. None of that. You don't have to do that. But I'm saying, again, a lot of times we want to do that right away is because, again, you know, we're going to forget to do it. And, you know, we don't want to do that. So we want to make sure that we're praying. But when you guys tell me you're praying, I love that. I know you're praying. You don't have to do it in the hallway right then. I know you are praying as a regular basis. And I need that. And I thank you for that. And Paul's saying here, look, here's what I need. Look what it says in verse 19. He says here, he says, and for me, here's what I want, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So notice this. The first thing he says he wants them to pray for is that God would give him utterance. That is, when I go to speak before the emperor or all these other people in prison or all that I'm doing here in Rome, wherever I am, I need the words to say. How many of us feel like we need the words to say when we run across people to share the gospel? God, give us the utterance. Give us the words to say. And what a great prayer. If we pray that, God, give me the words to say, God will give the words to say. Look, that's what I love about the evangelism outreach thing that we're doing with the adults and the kids and all that. Look, there's many different ways to evangelize. There's not one way to evangelize. But what I love about this is it gives practical steps to take to be able to share your faith. And some of you are saying, well, I want to share, but I just don't know how. You're going to get practical steps. You get involved in that, you're going to get practical steps on how to share, and you're going to be able to share your faith. If again, it becomes more natural for you, then great. But not everybody has that. And Paul's saying, look, I need this. I'm getting ready to go. Imagine the president. Okay, that would be the greatest. It's even greater than the president. The Caesar, he was the president of the world. Think about that. You think about going before the president of the United States, and God puts in your heart to share the gospel? Think how intimidating that could be. How do I say it? What do I say? You know, what if he goes, you're a loser, that's fake religion, or something like that. I don't know. What if he does that? And you have all these fears that come upon you and all these things that happen. And so give me utterance, God. What do I say when I get this opportunity? Paul said, I'm going before Caesar. I'm going for these world leaders. What do I say? Give me utterance. It's a great thing to pray that God, and God will be faithful to give us that. And so we need to ask for it. He's saying, pray for me that I'll have that. But notice this. He says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Again, very interesting here. To open his mouth, it means this, to open his mouth boldly. I want to give you this long definition because it's wonderful. You won't remember all this, but listen to the meaning of it. It's great. It means he's asking them to, again, pray for him that he would have freedom in speaking, okay, unreserved, literally unreserved in speech, holding nothing back, open, frank, without concealment. I love this next one. Clearly and fearlessly confident. Isn't that great? Means this is the message from God to you. Having a cheerful courage when you speak. Again, not just saying it, being cheerful about it. This is good news and what God wants me to share with you. And then being able to connect with his audience or whoever he's sharing with. He's saying that I'm going to open my mouth and that happened. And that it happened in a bold way. And again, I think, man, if Paul needed boldness, again, how much more do we need boldness? It's like if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? We need this boldness. And Paul says, it wasn't natural for Paul, very obviously. Paul said, I need boldness. Well, it's not natural for me either. You know, you guys see me up here, but I've been studying all week. I've been praying about the service, and I'm in front of friends. I mean, the rubber hits the road when I'm not in this, and I'm in the street, and they're not a friend. That's where boldness comes in. This isn't bold. This is family. But we need to pray, God, when I'm in that place where I'm not with family, and there is that opposition, give me boldness. Let me be able to share and let me be able to do as I should, to speak the way I'm supposed to. And again, because speaking to these important people, but also, again, why else would he need boldness? Not just because of the boldness to speak to someone and maybe persecution, but they were facing great persecution. We worry about, can I say anything at the office? Can I say anything to my buddies? Can I say anything to whoever? Listen, in this day, you may be put to death if you shared your faith. They were feeding people to lions in the Colosseum. Imagine going to Calvary Chapel, Rome, and saying, where are the Joneses? You didn't hear? No. They spoke out openly, and the Caesar, they put them in the Colosseum. What? Just Mr. John? Who all? The whole family. And then God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You think there'd be some intimidation there? A little bit of fear? Pray that I have boldness. Paul says, pray. I need to be bold. I've got to be faithful to God. And I know that if we are bold and faithful to God, if we ever face something like that, guys, God's going to give us the strength we need to do it. He's faithful. As a matter of fact, you read about the martyrs, they had joy as they were dying. They're singing songs. I'm like, that's supernatural. You can read about it in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Supernatural things that people recorded historically when all these saints were being put to death. They're praising God and rejoicing. There's no fear. It's something supernatural that God does, so we don't need to be afraid right now. You know, God will give you what you need at that moment, but Paul is saying, I'm going to need that boldness at that moment. I'm going to need that. You guys pray for me. And then he goes on saying, also for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ambassador here means imperial legate, and that means I answer directly to the highest guy in charge, not on earth, in heaven. I'm answering to the Father. An imperial legate, an ambassador, was somebody you sent in your name. But if you're an imperial legate, you answer straight to Caesar. And he's using that on purpose, saying, you know what? I'm answering straight to the Father. I've got to go back and forth. I'm an ambassador in chains. I'm in prison, but I'm sharing the gospel with the world. I've got to go and share that. I need to have boldness to do that and realize that when I go to share with somebody, not to be scared or intimidated, because I'm bringing a message from God himself from heaven. He has all authority and all power, and I'm his messenger, and I've got to deliver it to you right now. And again, that's the way oftentimes I feel behind the pulpit. I've got to say what I've got to say. You know, again, because if we don't, we have to answer to God for that one day. And it's not because of boldness. It's oftentimes because of a fear of God and saying, no, give me that boldness, Lord, because I want to say it. I remember there's a lot of, especially younger pastors, and there's certain things they won't say from the pulpit. And they're, you know, afraid that people will leave the church or whatever. If I say this, it's going to upset the people and they're going to leave. It's like, you better say what God tells you to say. This isn't about numbers. It's not about getting a big church. God's not going to go, hey, look, that's Mark. He had a couple hundred people come. Hey, come here. You seem pretty important. He's going to say, what did you do? Here's what I said. What did you tell them? And I found that the more I'm honest with you guys, the more the church grows. It's not the other way around. People don't leave when you're honest with them about the word of God. They realize, you know what? I need to hear this. I need to recognize what God's word says and make a decision about what I'm going to do with this. And so God's word has the power. We're simply to declare it as his ambassadors and then say, we've been sent by God. We're his representative, and God's going to say, well, did you tell him what I told him to say? Imagine if you went back to if the president sent you overseas to say something, and you come back and say, what did you say? Did you tell him this? Well, no, I didn't want to say that. They might get upset. That's why I sent you. Yeah, but I think I got mad, you know, and I mean, Putin's pretty harsh. Okay, whoa. You're never going again. I'll send someone else. And I'm not saying God's going to put us on a shelf if we've all failed. Okay, if that was the case, none of us would be serving right now. I'm just saying we have to realize he sent us with a message. We have to be faithful to deliver it and not worry about the, you know, what happens. That's up to God what takes place. We're his ambassador, even as Paul says that I'm the Lord's ambassador. And so I have to say exactly what God has called me to say. And notice this, he said, to have boldness that I would speak as I ought to speak. Again, I love the word ought here. What it means is this. I'll read it with the sentence that I would speak with a necessity, a need to do it, what is right and proper, what is necessary in the circumstances, what is required of God, and what is ethical as well as my religious obligation to God. Pray that I'd be able to speak that way. Wow. It's intense. That's Paul, and that's how we should be as well. And guys, note this. God would not require this if he wouldn't give us the ability to do it. He's going to give us the ability. He wouldn't require it otherwise. So we just say, God, come upon me. I need that work of the Spirit. I need power. You've got to light the flame. I know that I know you. I know that you've called me into ministry, but I need power. I need to be able to do this thing called Christianity, to share with other people. Again, I read the statistics oftentimes. They send these pastors these things where only this percentage of people share the gospel, you know, ever in their whole life or don't or whatever. It's unbelievable to me. I think the percentage is higher with you guys. I just do. Maybe I'm biased. But again, either way, when you see some of those numbers, you say, guys, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to be sharing, not out of works or out of fear, but out of love and out of the good news with a cheerful confidence of the hope that we have to offer to them. The worst they can do is say, get out of my face. And we can say, okay, there it is. I'll leave you alone. And yes, it may strain some relationships, but listen, would you rather have a strained relationship with friends and family with them to have an opportunity to live forever in the kingdom of God, or to have a strained relationship or not have a strained relationship with friends and family and everything be great and then die without God for eternity? Think about it. We make it all the way to the end and boy, we're all good friends. But where are they? They didn't get in because you didn't say what needed to be said. And I'm speaking to myself. And so then Paul goes on. So we need to pray for boldness to speak as we ought to speak. And he finishes up by saying, but that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing. So you want to know the personal issues about me. I'm sending Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. He'll make all things known to you, so he'll catch you up on where I am, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, how we're doing, Paul and the others with him, and that he may be a comfort to your hearts, so that he can minister about us and also to them one-on-one. Then he finishes lastly, peace to the brethren and love with faith. I love that here he's in prison. He's saying, may God's peace, may God's love and faith be upon you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And also notice God's grace. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. As we finish this, and what a great journey, amen, and what a great journey through the book of Ephesians, are we again loving the Lord in sincerity? If you're loving the Lord in sincerity, then this book is for you, these promises are for you, this hope is for you, this strength is for you. And so again, as we finish the book of Ephesians, what a great journey through this book that God is, again, just working in us. And there's going to be, I think, positive and great fruit from this. But as we finish today, again, here's what I want to finish with. I want to pray for us that we would have boldness and that God would give us the words to say with that boldness. Because we need to be bold. And listen, if you have boldness from God, you're not going to be afraid. You're sitting there thinking, I'm afraid to share my faith, and I kind of hear this. It makes me nervous even to think about it. You're not going to be nervous. If God gives you boldness, you're going to want to share. And it's going to flow out of you. So we're going to pray that all that will go away, all the nervousness, all the fear, and pray that God will come upon us again with his Spirit to give us the boldness and the courage and the words to speak as God opens the doors. So let me pray over us right now. Father, I just thank you again, and I pray, Lord, over this fellowship. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, even as Paul asked for prayer, God, we're asking right now that you would give us the words to say when it comes to sharing our faith as we're ambassadors for heaven. Give us the words to say, and not only give us the words to say, God, if we don't have the power to share it, it means nothing. So come upon us with boldness. Come upon us with your Holy Spirit. Even now, pour your Spirit out on this place. Come upon us with the oil of your Spirit, the power of your Spirit, the boldness of the Spirit. And God, let us be effective ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And again, Lord, let your grace and love and faith and goodness rest on those in here whose hearts are sincerely loving and serving you. We know you've heard us, God. We know you'll answer. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.